This is the Cinemaniacs for April 12th, 2008. There's a stone cold bitch in the cheeks. Hey everybody, welcome to the Cinemaniacs. My name is Walt. To my left is Jeff.
Hello everybody.
To my right is Lisa. Welcome back.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Been a long time coming. You're way overdue, darling. Way overdue.
Yeah, those beta casts. So thank you for having me back.
Last week, Jeff and I, we talked that we were going to do our favorite movies of 2007. And one way or another, we decided we're going to do our top fours, and then, just for the fun of it, throw in our worst movie of the year.
Yeah.
Our least favorite.
Yes.
But first, the next day after we recorded last week's show, we had some horrible, horrible news in the industry. Mr. Charlton Heston passed away.
Yep. How old was he when he died?
You would ask that.
I would ask that.
He was a million years old.
He was. Well, he was Moses, so.
Yeah,
at least, what, 5,000 years old? Something like that?
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay.
I think Moses actually lived to be about 700 years old.
Okay.
In real life.
I see.
Oh, yeah.
In
on the biblical clock?
Yes. Well, I remember the Earth's only 5,000 years old now. And he was there. Anyway.
Charlton Heston was 83 years old.
83 years old. So
he was born in 1924, the same as my grandmother.
That's ironic.
Wow.
He died April 5th, which was, like I said, the day after we recorded.
Right.
So as we did a few episodes back with Heath Ledger, I thought we'd go over all of Charlton Heston's movies.
All of them?
Can't we just do that?
But yeah, I got to be to work in the morning. I don't have that kind of time, man. Yeah.
Do you know that IMDb lists 125 acting credits to his name?
I'm not surprised, not in the least. Not a career like that, you know. It'd have to be.
Needless.
I mean, who could forget him in Wayne's World 2?
Oh yeah.
I never saw that. Is it worth seeing?
So let's go over the list.
Because Wayne's World 1 was.
I liked Wayne's World 1. I didn't like Wayne's World 2 as much.
Yeah.
Was that the one with Rob Lowe in it?
No, Rob Lowe was in the first one. Okay. I don't know if he made the second one. No, it was Christopher Walken was the bad guy in the second one.
Mm-hmm. I'll name some movies that I love Charlton Heston in. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't go wrong without saying Ten Commandments.
Right. Oh, yeah. Moses.
We could do a round robin, name movies about him.
Okay.
So I got Ten Commandments.
Okay, Ben-Hur. Lisa.
Omega Man.
Planet of the Apes.
El Cid.
Ooh, I never saw that.
That's a good movie.
Mm. That is a good movie.
Yeah.
I can't think of any more off the top of my head right now.
That other one. Greatest Story Ever Told. You seen that one?
No.
No.
Who was in that one?
That other Jesus guy.
Wasn't that Max von Sydow?
Yes.
Wasn't Max von Sydow Jesus in The Greatest Story Ever Told?
Uh-huh.
And he went on to play Ming the Merciless in Flash Gordon.
Oh my God. What a spread.
Yeah, man. We've totally segued off of Charlton Heston. We're now into Max von Sydow.
Being Jesus.
To Ming the Merciless, I know.
Lord have mercy.
Yep. Anyway, back to the venerated
Mr. Heston. Hey.
He was in The Greatest Story Ever Told. He was John the Baptist.
Oh. Excuse us. I got one for you.
Okay.
He was in Bowling for Columbine.
That's true.
I was about to say, that's the last thing I've ever seen him in, and that's really kind of sad.
Cause that's where he was functioning.
He really came across, well, badly in that movie. You know, it was really, really quite sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember, you know, hearing that he died, I was like, and the last thing I saw him in was that, where he just came across looking like a gun-toting racist.
Line them all up and kill them all.
Yes. Well, it looks like we can take his guns now.
Oh, jeez.
How about Earthquake?
Earthquake was awesome.
It was great.
Earthquake was great. Let's see. Was he in Tora Tora Tora? Because I think so, because I think everybody was in Tora Tora Tora. Mm-hmm. That was the Pearl Harbor movie.
Was not.
No?
Yeah.
Ever had everybody else in it.
Needless to say, he had a long and storied career.
Yes.
Fantastic movies. Some of the best movies of all time, I believe.
Yep. Well, when you have the list in front of you and we can't seem to pull anything out of our, you know, collective keisters, why don't you give us some more?
Alfred Hitchcock movie, Touch of Evil. He was in that.
Oh, I've heard good things.
He was in Tombstone.
Yes, he was. He had a very... Yes, I remember that.
I don't remember.
He was... He was a actual named individual in Tombstone. And
it was, what, 93?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Henry Hooker.
Yep.
And he was in Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That was the second one?
Yes.
That was when they had the nuclear bomb.
Oh.
My least favorite of the series, and I love the Planet of the Apes movies. But that one was disappointing. I don't know how I got on to go see 3, 4, or 5 after that second one, but I'm glad I did because they are all worth seeing, with the exception of that one. But I guess that one's necessary to get the rest of the series going.
Sure.
He was in True Lies.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. He was the director.
To this day, I still haven't seen, but I really do want to, is Soylent Green.
Yeah.
I saw Soylent Green. Soylent Green, it's a different movie. It's really good, though.
Looking. Any Given Sunday, who's in that?
Wow, I don't remember him in it.
And now we're getting into the movies that are rated 5-star via IMDb, so it's not really great stuff there. Ben-Hur, the TV show from 2003.
Say what now?
Said Ben-Hur, the TV show from 2003.
They did a TV show.
Yeah. Town and Country. I never saw that.
Yeah.
Closing remarks?
We know he's going to be the... We know he'll be the last one at the in memoriam segment next year's Oscars. You know, he'll be that last big one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Legendary loss.
Yes, it was. Jeff and I, last week, we said that everybody go to the website, thecinemaniacs.com, and you can download a copy of the reminder list. That is the list of eligible movies for Academy Awards for the year 2007.
Right.
And that was our criteria for picking movies. There's some foreign films in there. There's a, you know, a whole gamut of stuff that we went through individually. And of the 306 movies, we started marking off which ones we've already seen. I came up with 93. How many did you see?
The big 60.
Lisa?
I think it was 92.
92 of these movies that we've seen. And from that list, we narrowed it down to the top 4 movies, our favorite 4 movies of the year.
Yes, we did.
And
it was a long, hard, arduous process. It's going to take me weeks to recover, but I'll be all right.
Yeah, it was painful.
Hard to make that cut.
It was really hard to cull that list down, man. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, you don't realize how many movies you see in a year, and you just go back and wait, that was this year? No way.
It was a long, great year for
me. Yeah, it was.
It was harder for me. I shouldn't say harder, but then to pick my least favorite movie of the year, there was a few that stood out, but then to choose between them, but managed to do that. We'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Yep.
In the meantime, Lisa, why don't we get started with you? Your number 4 favorite movie of the year.
My number... Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to put them in chronological. Okay, well. Kite Runner.
Number 4, great. Do you have anything to say about it? We haven't heard you talk about Kite Runner on the show. In fact, none of us have talked about it on the show yet, I don't think.
Exactly.
An exceptional story about personal loss and tragedy during the Afghan War between two friends, and it's extremely powerful and yet uplifting, and a movie worth investing some time in. Not a movie for children, but if you're wanting to explore a different
culture.
Yeah, definitely. I like the way that it opened your eyes up to the Taliban.
Yeah. No, that's number four on mine as well.
Oh, wow.
It is. It literally, I mean, we only saw it recently, but it was so great. And acting jobs, superb all the way around. Yeah, and it shows you, you know, this strange country that we know so little about, and especially in this, you know, crazy post 9/11, I hate using that world, you know, you think you see this as the root of all evil and just this horrible, horrible place. And it, you know, you see what it's gone through and the human side of everything, you know,
even before 9/11. I mean, this country's been in turmoil since, gosh, 1979.
Exactly.
And it's painful. What a forgotten world.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it shows you their human side, some of the more simple pleasures that they enjoyed. That, you know, it's just, and the story between the two friends, even though they're more, it's a little bit of a master-servant type relationship.
Exactly.
But still the friendship and the love and the betrayal. I mean, it was just really, really moving in every aspect of it, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it covers a large number of years, and there are parts that just, in every part of this, that will just, you know, move you.
Yes, I agree.
Great movie. Fantastic movie.
I agree, and I appreciate what Lisa said, that it tells Afghanistan back in the 60s and 70s, and then after the Soviet invasion, and we leave for a period, but then we come back to when the Soviets have left, and now the Taliban is there, and how things have changed so dramatically. So we have a friend of ours, Nick Mall, who's from Afghanistan, and he's told me various stories. And now I'm actually, instead of my own imagination working, I'm seeing how things were actually like during the Taliban era. It's very scary.
Very scary.
Yeah, and in those other countries where you have the exploitation of class.
Right.
You have different classes.
Yeah, and exactly.
You know, we take that for granted living here. And
yeah, exactly.
It just was a very nice example.
Yeah, we have classism here in this country, but not that kind of extreme.
Yeah. It was excellent.
The Kite Runner, it was based on a book by Khaled Hosseini and David Benioff. He did the screenplay. Of course, Mark Forster is the director of that. He first came to fame when he did Monster's Ball. A lot of people like that movie a lot.
I'm one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. He also did Finding Neverland.
Loved Finding Neverland.
Movie. Johnny Depp and Kate Winslet.
Yep. Broke my heart.
Stay was a movie with Ryan Gosling and Ewan McGregor. That was a great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie. It's one of my things.
Don't remember seeing that.
One of the movies I became a fan of Ryan Gosling in after seeing that. And, well, actually, The Notebook, and then Stay came out, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. Stranger Than Fiction with Will Ferrell.
Oh, yeah.
It's another Mark Forster movie that I just.
Yeah.
Makes me
crazy.
That
was a fun
loving
movie.
Loving that.
Yeah.
So.
This movie was. It was just a very well told story, too. On top of that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Kudos to those writers.
Going to see what awards it was nominated for, because I know it was nominated for a lot.
I remember there was also, I can't remember the details, but I remember there was a bit of controversy about its release. I think some of the more Muslim nations had a problem with one of the more problematic scenes or something like that. And there were some bannings and threats or something like that.
Hmm. That makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because nobody wants to let the skeletons out of the closet.
Absolutely.
It says it was nominated for original score for as far as the Academy Awards go, but it was also nominated for Golden Globes Best Foreign Language Film as well as original score. I didn't think the score stood out too well.
Hmm. No, I liked the music, actually. I thought the score worked very well, especially during the kite flying scenes.
The ending song was a very good song, and I don't remember, but one of the Iglesias people worked on it. Is that any relation to Julio?
Let's see here, because that's who it is. Alberto Iglesias was nominated. He's been nominated for 2 Oscars, this and The Constant Gardener. It does not say if he's related or not. Actually, his birth name is Alberto Iglesias Fernandez Berride.
Oh, God bless him.
He's from Spain. So that was your number four list, Lisa, and your number four list.
My number four. What about you, Mr. Walt? What was number four on your list?
I went with Live Free or Die Hard. I went over it and went over the list. I haven't seen that many movies. I don't watch that many movies double up. But this was one of the movies I did see twice. Saw it in the theater and saw it again on DVD. I think it was before we got the Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
And it was just the best of the series, for mm-hmm. sure. And just so enjoyable. I mean, Bruce Willis and the Mac guy.
Oh, Justin Long.
Justin Long.
The Mac guy.
Yeah, that's how I know him from, is the Mac commercials. Yeah, Justin Long, he just played it perfectly. I mean, he's a hacker. He's a computer guy in the commercials. And then here.
Yeah.
I mean, he was not the one in Scrubs. That's Zach Braff.
Timothy Oliphant is the villain.
Of course.
Huge fan.
Amazingly so. He's perfect. He made that Hitman movie also. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, had it not been for The Kite Runner, it would have been number four on my list.
Okay. Yeah.
If I had not seen The Kite Runner recently, it would have been there.
Right. Yeah.
It was that. I love
the explosions.
It.
You know, some people will say that it was over the top or you know, too not plausible. But it was just fun.
Who
and it
cares?
You just kick back and eat your popcorn and enjoy the heck out of it. And I really did.
Oh, me too.
Timothy Oliphant, like you said, was the villain. And I love all that hacker stuff that goes on there. And you got Kevin Smith, you know, with his little guest appearance.
The Digital Jedi.
It.
Yeah. Loved it. Loved it.
Just through and through. Yep. I enjoyed that movie.
It was smart on top of all this action and excitement. And gosh, who doesn't love John McClane?
Oh, yeah. Nope, great movie. Like I said, had it not been for recently seeing The Kite Runner, it would have made the top four. If we could have done a top five, it would have been number five.
Yeah.
So maybe I don't feel so guilty anymore, but because I saw that and I was like, ooh.
It was, I know.
That was written by Mark Bombeck and directed by Len Wiseman, who did the Underworld movies, and I believe is Kate Beckinsale's husband.
I think so.
Yeah. And so that's his history as far as directing goes.
Okay.
I've never seen Underworld movies.
Well, he did a good
movies.
Job this time.
There we go. I think he's going to get work again.
Well, he's already writing the next Underworld movie.
I like the Underworld movies. They weren't too bad.
I'm sorry, man.
I'm into that
thing. The moment the vampires and werewolves start whipping guns out at each other, I'm gone.
Yeah.
That was... Sorry. No amount of leather-clad Beckinsale is going to keep me interested in something that silly. Mm. Anyhow.
No word yet if they're going to do a fifth Die Hard or not. But I have no problems if they do.
Hey, as long as John McClane's alive, I mean, come on. He's got indie syndrome now.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that was my number four movie, Live Free or Die Hard.
All right.
Lisa, number three.
Juno, yeah. Fun little movie, heartfelt tale again, and it's just a nice inside look at the intimacy of an American family, and very modern and fresh. The teen pregnancy dynamic, that's a little, that could be a little off for some people, but... Very smart movie, well written as far as the dialogue goes and everything. And it was a lot of fun.
I agree, 100%. Very well written. It won the Oscar for writing, in fact. That was for Diablo Cody. She wrote it. And Jason Reitman, he directed it. He also directed the Thank You for Smoking movie.
Oh, Thank You for Smoking was great.
Yeah.
That was so sarcastically funny. I love that movie.
Ellen Page, of course, we've talked about several times on the show already, did a great job. And all the supporting cast, Michael Cera, Jason Bateman, mm-hmm. Jennifer Garner.
Oh, I agree. Mm-hmm. It was a nice ensemble and very well done by everybody. And like I said, a really nice look at the modern family dynamic and how they handled that situation. I liked it a lot.
Jeff, have you seen it yet?
That is number one on my movies that I really got to...
Oh, number one of movies you got
to
see?
Movies I have to see. No, Lord, no, I haven't seen it yet. That is number one. No, no, I haven't seen it yet.
Number one on your movies to see.
Number one on my movies to see. I've heard nothing but good, and, you know, I'm ashamed I haven't seen it yet. So, you know. So I'll crawl off into a corner and live with my shame and guilt.
Very good. What is number three on your list, Jeff?
Number three on my list was 310 to Yuma.
310 to Yuma.
I had so much fun watching that movie from beginning to end. Russell Crowe was the most charming outlaw / quote unquote villain you've ever seen. Christian Bale as this down on his luck goat farmer or something, like, you know, just a farmer and
one-legged farmer,
you know, just trying to get something going for his family, taking a big risk, and the adventure ensues, and it was phenomenal. I didn't want it to end.
Yeah, that was an excellent movie.
I love that movie. I really
very well done.
Yeah,
I agree. Haven't seen great westerns in a while now, and that kind of kicked off, you know, a new, not era, let's say, but there's a couple of good westerns came out this past year. Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford comes to mind. Mm-hmm. And
so yeah, it was refreshing.
But yeah, 310, and it was, you know, it was a very simple story, you know, no, you know, but so much fun to watch.
Oh yeah.
Two two amazing performances by Christian Bale and Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
I agree. It was written by Halsted Wells, who hasn't written too many movies here.
Well, that's also based on an older movie.
Exactly.
Well, yes, of course.
310, the original 310 to Yuma. Starring a relative, you know, a distant relative of one of our good friends, Van Heflin.
Van Heflin was cool.
Yeah, he's an actor in the around that period. And
Madame Bovary.
Oh, he was in the original. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the original.
Yeah.
I don't know who he is. But that's why Halsted Wells gets a credit for writing this one, because he did write the original.
There we go.
He hasn't done too much of late at all.
Yeah. But if you're going to do a remake,
they picked the right one. That is just a fabulous movie.
Fabulous. Before I said hasn't done too much lately, I wanted to make sure he's still alive.
Yeah, that could put a, you know, crimp in your writing, your production there, not being alive anymore.
Because his last credit was 1976.
Tales from the Crypt.
Yep. And also written by Michael Brandt, who has coming up, besides previously written Invincible and Too Fast, Too Furious, he has coming up The A-Team.
Yay!
Next year. And directed by James Mangold.
And what has James done?
Copland.
Oh,
Girl Interrupted.
Movie. Another good movie.
And Walk the Line was his big movie.
Oh, hey, right on.
Wow. So
he's doing pretty good.
What's he got coming up?
Nothing. Nothing listed on IMDb as far as
slacker
directing.
Get off your butt, man.
But you
just made the best Western in years. Move it.
Walk the Line was 2 years ago. 2 years before that, he did Identity. 2 years before that, Gate Leopold. 2 years before that, Girl Interrupted. 2 years before that, Copland. And 2 years before that, Heavy. So I guess every 2 years he's coming out with a movie.
Okay.
So he's got till next year to make a movie, or else we're coming after him.
That's right.
Christian Bale style.
That's on one leg, baby. All right. And you, Mr. Walt?
My number three is another one that I don't care if it's a guilty pleasure. I just enjoyed this movie thoroughly, is The Shooter. And that came at a time. I'm sorry. I'm looking at this list. I'm going over it twice. I got some movies marked that couldn't make my list, and I'll tell you about them later. But we watched that movie with Christian Bale, Hard Times.
Right.
And it was lacking for me. He was good. The movie was going someplace, but the best parts of that movie, when he was over in the Middle East and he was the Marine and he was just like going through doors and taking people out, pop, 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 pop. But it was so little, so few parts of that movie. I say go see Harsh Times. It's a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
But afterwards, you're going to want to see some killing. And the very next week after we saw that, the very next week, The Shooter came out, and that's what Mark Wahlberg was doing. We all love Mark Wahlberg.
Love Mark Wahlberg. He's
and that movie was just so cool, and that's what he was doing. I mean, they had the whole conspiracy thing going. Yeah. I'm not giving anything away. They got it right there in the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Something goes wrong, boom, and he just handled it really well.
Yep.
I just loved it.
Yeah. I loved it up until the last about 20 minutes when they had, you know, a couple too many endings there.
The final ending, I agree with. So when you see the ending that should be the ending, that's
just,
it?
Yeah, just stop the DVD.
That's it.
Then it'll want to go on. Just stop it, skip to the credits, and you'll have a good time. But if you let it go all the way, you could really, you know, it could Tim Burton Planet of the Apes on you, you know, with that really ridiculous ending. Just ruin the whole damn movie. Wow, that you shocked me with that one, brother. you really shocked me with that one.
Yeah. I talked highly about that movie when I saw it.
I know you have, but I really kind of forgotten about it. Wow.
But I really loved it. It was just, you know, and Antoine Fuqua directed it. He's directed a lot of Denzel Washington stuff.
That's
good.
I think you need to do some more first-person shooter games.
Get your bloodlust out of the way, mister.
Yeah.
Maybe so, maybe so.
Lay off the Madden and go do some Halo or something.
Maybe so.
Hey, I just brought over Ghost Recon, man.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that. I might take a look at that.
There we go.
Yeah, therapy.
Lisa, number two.
There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood.
This movie, for most people, it would be far too bleak because it's just so heavy. But I adore this movie. And it was really hard for me because I wanted to have this be my favorite movie of the year. And like I said, it's just too bleak in some areas. But I love how it opens up, and for the first maybe 20 minutes or so, there's no dialogue.
Ah, isn't that great?
I love that.
I mean, they barely say anything, and you're just riveted.
Yeah. In fact, when I watched the movie a second time, I didn't realize quite how much dialogue there isn't.
Yeah.
Until after the second time. I mean,
you don't realize how much is said in just looks and expressions and.
Yeah.
You know.
Nice backdrops.
Yeah.
The story just tells itself. The soundtrack
and
is
the
amazing.
The music. Oh yes. My God, the music. Yeah. The music was just so driving and just sometimes scary, you know?
It suits the character.
Oh, yeah. That siren sound, the noon whistle they used to do every Saturday morning.
You know, that type of stuff. It's just like, and it's that driving madness of this character, you know?
This is a love it or hate it kind of movie because either you do, you love it or you hate it. I read in some review in Entertainment Weekly this guy who was saying how the first time he saw There Will Be Blood, he hated it. And then he saw it again. And then he saw it again. Yeah. Then he saw it again. And he loves it now.
Yeah. And the fact that he kept watching it over again, it must have said something for the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Even if you don't like it the first time, you can't deny there's palpable emotion and tension.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, the tension is so amazing.
I like it when you can come across a movie where the good guy is the bad guy.
The anti-hero.
You know, yeah.
Love the anti-hero.
Such a complex character. Yeah. Just, I loved it.
Yep.
Well, I recently heard somebody say, they made the comment that There Will Be Blood, people don't like it because of the movie. They like it because of Daniel Day-Lewis. So if you pull him out of it, is it still a good movie?
He is the movie.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, performance is amazing. I mean, he won the Oscar for it. Yes. There's no doubt.
Oh, I know.
Fantastic. But if somebody else was in that role, would it still been a great movie?
Maybe not as great.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, you can't take the character out. Maybe you take a different actor or whatever. You know, those lines are still there. The way that character is built is still there. And somebody might go in and do a serviceable job. Mind you, yeah. You know what? This is a performance piece. And the performance of Daniel Day-Lewis, it really does make this movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
But so what?
I've seen
you
it.
Know what?
No, I'm not disagreeing because I do love this movie also.
No, you know, If it wasn't for Daniel Day, yes, so what? If it wasn't for Bruce Willis, Die Hard wouldn't be great.
The director says that. He says this was Daniel's movie. If it wasn't for him, you know, would I be here today?
Right. And the director is Paul Thomas Anderson. Yeah. We talked about it in our pre-Oscar shows that this guy is just has an amazing base of work.
Yeah,
but let's go back to his other movies where those were great, too.
No, but we agree.
I feel that this movie is his masterpiece so far. I do.
Yeah. He's had fantastic movies with Heart 8 with Philip Seymour Hoffman in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights is a classic.
Mark Wahlberg, John C. Reilly.
It's a great
movie. That's an ensemble movie right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. There's so many. Amazing. Julianne Moore.
Burt Reynolds.
Heather Graham.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Magnolia, you know, Another one. Tom Cruise, but he was nominated for an Oscar there. Philip Seymour Hoffman again.
Yep.
Right? Amazing ensemble cast.
Yeah.
Punch Drunk Love.
He gets Adam Sandler to a breakout role,
I say, for him.
Absolutely. Now,
I mean, he's huge in the comedy side, but that was the first time I'd seen him do drama so well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that was an excellent movie, too.
And continues to.
Oh, yeah.
A movie that almost made my list was Rain Over Me with Adam Sandler.
Mm-hmm. I like that movie a lot, too. Yeah.
So, There Will Be Blood, I agree, Lisa. Fantastic movie.
Yep.
Jeff, your number two?
I'm going to sound like a parrot. There Will Be Blood. Oh. My number two movie. Word up. Great minds think alike. Yes, There Will Be Blood is my second favorite movie this year. Everything we've said before stands verbatim. Excellent movie. Excellent, you know, one of the things, the cinematography in this movie.
Exactly.
Amazing. The set designs, this tiny town that gets bigger and bigger, the oil derricks, you know, sprouting up.
How about Paul Dano?
Yeah, Paul Dano was great.
What a crazy guy.
I mean, oh, yeah. Just comes across so slimy.
Yes, he does. Know? That is the dirty preacher.
Oh, he's a dirty little slimy little preacher kid.
Yeah.
He's just crazy. Oh, yeah.
And the kid.
Yeah, oh, his son. Not son. Oh, my God, that was great.
His baby face.
Yeah, it was the baby face on the front of the company. It was great. And I loved, once again, back to Daniel Day-Lewis, I love him in the beginning as he's just having to be nice to all these people to get them in there. And he's tolerating all these demands from these people. And you can see it seething under him, man. But he's maintaining until finally he doesn't have to anymore.
I love that.
Screw it, you know. I love that. Love it.
Love that scene where they're talking, and he says, "When I don't have to deal with these
people.
And the look on his face is just
straight from the trailer. Yeah, amazing.
Yep, love that movie.
My number two is not There Will Be Blood.
No way.
Nope. My number two was The Kite Runner, actually.
All right.
Now, maybe that
was
fresh in my head, but adding to what you both said earlier is that it was so powerful a movie, and the scenes in
it
there.
It brings you to tears multiple times.
Right.
I mean.
And relief.
Shock and happiness.
Yeah.
And
despair and joy. How in the hell you get that many emotions together and not, you know, drive somebody insane, you know?
You know, my brother John, who we like to joke with and see foreign language films, I think even he would love this movie. And it's just so powerful.
Yeah.
Another powerful movie that comes to mind that I haven't seen, I just hear how powerful it is Grave of the Fireflies, which is an animated film.
Yeah, we need to watch that.
Yeah, because it's also a movie that just, you know, supposedly so strong and pulls on the heartstrings and just, you know, Kite Runner. Maybe because it's fresh in my mind, I don't know, but it was just blew me away.
You know, I had to do that, too. I had to go, well, is it because it's so fresh in my mind? And you know, we got the list. I got the list as soon as we talked about it and really did start going over it. And it just kept coming back. I'm like, I really do love this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, and passionately. I think people should see it.
Yes.
It literally will. It'll expand your worldview. Not just about Afghanistan, but Muslims in general, you know. Yes.
And we're not even talking about politically, you know,
culturally, culturally, is, you know. Yeah. Yes.
Really great.
Amazing.
About families, too.
Families and
it's just amazing.
And nobody's perfect. Everybody has their flaws. Everybody has they're human beings. No, there are no absolute blacks and whites, you know, There are a few, yes, he is ridiculously evil and he is this, but overall, I mean, your main characters are complex human beings just like everybody else.
Yep.
Spectacular movie. Couldn't agree more.
I put it in number two.
Good man.
Another Afghan movie that was that Turtles Can Fly?
Yes.
That was an Iraqi movie, wasn't it?
Oh.
Was it Iraq?
It took place
or
in
Mongolia.
Iraq.
That was the Weeping Camel.
I think it was Iraq.
It took place in Iraq.
With Satellite?
Yeah.
The kid Satellite.
The Satellite.
Okay.
That was a good movie.
That was a very good movie. That
the kids watched that one.
Yeah, that was a very heavy movie. I like this movie better only because you were able to get out of some of the funk.
Right.
Yeah, no. The that movie, the despair outweighed the joy by quite a bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, this movie, you know, you see the worst and the best in humanity in some of the same characters and
how they manage
and you still have hope at the end. It's
exactly.
wonderful.
Right.
Well,
Thank you
see in the beginning of the movie, you see the guy and he thinks back upon his life. And so it's broad, sprawling epic of a film because it takes place over a course of 40 years. Yeah.
Beautiful movie. Yep.
Oh, and I love the references to some of the older films.
Yes, yes.
I love that.
Yeah, the boys go. Yeah, that was great. The boys going to see the dubbed version of The Magnificent Seven. That was great.
Yeah,
Seven.
That was
Bullet.
So cool.
Yeah, and references to Bullet and Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great.
Love that.
Good choice.
Before we get to our number one picks, we're going to reveal our least favorite movie of 2007.
No
so, Lisa,
problem.
Will you take the honors?
Oh, gosh. Dragon Wars.
Dragon Wars, the Korean CGI dragon.
Yeah.
Movie.
Yeah, that stunk.
Yeah.
The poster looked cool. I had high hopes for it. And after you saw it, I decided I wasn't going to.
Dude, me too. Me too. And it was hard because on the list there was what was the other movie I was going to pick? Well, this one, I had to just pick this one because it was like, okay, when do I get my hour and a half back? You know? Actually, I was thinking about one of this year's worst movies, and I'm not sure if I should keep it to myself. So, but Dragon Wars, that really stunk.
Okay. I
don't even
want
to talk about it.
Okay.
That's that way.
It's so bad you don't even want to rag on it.
Yeah. 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 Because it stunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this is how bad it was. I got it for my 10-year-old boy. And I'm like, this is going to be cool. And I'm showing him the cover and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we're going to watch D-Wars. And he couldn't wait. And I couldn't wait. We started watching it. That guy got bored. He wanted to go play Bionicles. I actually sat through the damn thing just so I could be here for you today.
The sacrifices we make for you out there, people.
Wow. Worse.
So, thank you.
No more D-Wars. Jeff, your least favorite movie of the year?
Least favorite movie of the year. Well, I actually touched upon it earlier in an earlier podcast, but it was epic movie. What a piece of shit. Oh, my God. I mean, I was at home, slightly tipsy, going, okay, I could use a laugh. Let's have a laugh. I watched this movie. I'd TiVo'd it. Because it was just there and I wasn't TiVoing anything else. Don't worry, I didn't bump anything for it. And not one laugh. Not one laugh. It was awful. It was so bad. References to, you know, just putting references to pop culture or movies or whatever in just to do it. You know? No reason, no rhyme, no nothing to it. You don't.
It amazes me hearing you say that because Joe Barlow of the Cinema Slave podcast, I think I may have told you how he saw Meet the Spartans, and he said the exact same words that you did. They just have, like, somebody in it, like, somebody comes to mind just for the sake of having them in there, and it makes no purpose. It's not funny.
Paris Hilton is in, they have a Paris Hilton lookalike in this movie just for the purpose of her to have somebody to, for one of your characters to land on, and that's it, you know, and it's just like.
So he's like, oh, he fell on Paris Hilton.
Yay.
Ha-ha. No, that's not funny.
No.
And you know, the greatest movies of all time are ones that you can look back 10, 20, 30 years from now and think they're still either funny or enjoyable. You know, you still love watching them. But 10 years from now, nobody's going to know who Paris Hilton is.
Yeah.
And that won't even, not it's that it makes it funny now, but it will make even less funny later.
Exactly. I mean, you know, they're trying to do these, this is supposed to be in the style of the airplane movies, the parody movies. And when you don't even just, when you're just throwing this stuff in there and you're not even being funny, it's ridiculous. I mean, what's the point?
And because you hated this movie so much, they got that superhero movie out now. I don't even know what it's called.
Superhero movie.
Oh, okay. And
just call it Piece of Shit Number 4.
It looks interesting from the trailer, but I know it's by those same guys. I have no interest in seeing it.
No, don't.
The children.
I would disown you if you saw it.
The children and I were talking, and of these movies, they said that they were interested in the superhero movie. Like, are you sure? And here's the thing is, I know I gave D-Wars, you know, an F, but I don't even waste my time with those kinds of movies.
You know what? And I normally wouldn't. I mean, I never once saw the trailer for Epic Movie and went, oh, that looks kind of funny. I didn't, you know, and it just, it's so bad.
You have my condolences.
Ooh, I can't. It was short, too. It was like 100, it was like, what was it, like 70 minutes? 70 minutes. And it was so long. It was the longest 70 minutes of my life. That's it was so unfunny.
What's yours?
My least favorite movie of the year was Shrek the Third. You see, you're laughing more than everybody in the theater did. Were you there with us, Jeff?
Yeah.
We went to that movie. We brought the kids. There's another one that we bring the kids to, and I'm sitting in that theater, and I'm so bored by the movie, I'm looking around watching the audience, waiting for them to laugh.
Right.
Nobody's laughing.
Right.
My kids, if it wasn't for the popcorn, they'd be bored out of their mind. But they were playing with it a little bit, you know, and they could have gone to sleep. There was nobody laughing.
Yep.
The only redeeming qualities about that movie, and believe me, the first one was great. Second one had its moments, not too bad. The first one was really great, which makes this one stand out even more. And maybe we've mentioned it before on this podcast, but I don't care. But that Trek to 3 was just miserable.
Yeah.
But the redeeming quality, again, was Antonio Banderas and his Puss in Boots character.
Sure. That was the only good part of 2. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Is it the first
what happened?
They got greedy, man. The first movie, they started off with a really nice story, a really great story about being yourself. Be who you are. Be true to yourself no matter what, you know. And, you know, making friends despite your flaws and this, that, and the other. And it was a really great story, a really great fairy tale, a lot of really funny jokes and just fun.
The pop culture references in the first one were not today's pop culture. They were fairy tale references.
They were fairy tale pop culture.
Exactly. Hundreds of years
old. Exactly. Thank you.
That you will always get. 10 years from now, you'll be able to watch Shrek and still find it a humorous movie.
Exactly. No, in the second one, you've got, you know, cops. References to cops.
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
And how you mentioned that epic movie in Meet the Spartans, there's a scene where they show a Shrek baby. Well, that's only going to be, it's not funny now, and it's not going to be funny in 10 years from now.
You
know? And Shrek the Third was just miserable. I'm sad that they made
that movie. They've diminished the reputation of the first one.
And in an earlier show, I mentioned that we're going to see Shrek the Fourth, or whatever it is called, in the theater.
No.
I just take it back.
No.
Not going to do it.
No.
You hear that, Lisa?
Yeah.
Not going to do it.
Nope.
Yeah. Hey, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It's just sad.
You know, I don't like it when movie franchises take something that's good and just pound it into the ground.
Just wear it the fuck out.
Yeah.
You know, and where we talk about
blatant
the diehard movies.
Just for a buck.
Exactly. Not a diehard movie scheduled to come out because they're going to wait until they have a good one.
Thank you.
How many years was it between the third and the fourth one?
Tons.
Like 10, 12 years.
Star
20
Wars.
Years between Indiana Jones movies.
Exactly.
Why? Because they're finally going to have a good story to
tell. They stayed true to their integrity.
Exactly.
The story.
They didn't screw around. And these guys just take something decent and just fucking fry it.
Yeah.
Oof. Do I sound angry enough?
Yeah.
No, because the first Shrek is literally one of my favorite movies ever. I thought it was beautiful.
It's a smart movie.
Yeah, and then they just dumbed it down and packaged it up and fucked it up.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
They added Antonio Banderas for the second one, and for the third one, they added Justin Timberlake.
Right. Whatever.
Who I'm starting to be a fan of, except for this movie. And I say a fan of, I mean, Alpha Dog.
Alpha Dog, he was great. He was great. Yeah. He was great. Great movie, and he was exceptionally great in it.
Right. Yeah. Black Snake Moan.
Yep.
He was in
that. That's true, too.
And he was good. So I'm getting to be a fan, even liking his music a bit. Yeah. Why? I don't know, but I am.
Hey.
And then they get to do the Shrek the Third. And you know what else he has lined up?
Yeah.
The Love Guru.
I got to tell you.
He looks cute in it.
I'm not sure about it. I don't know. We'll see.
There for the
little
cameo.
I got to tell you, I don't think Shrek the Third was nearly as bad as Epic Movie, but I can see why you could be so angry against it because of the downfall, you know?
And you know what they're capable of.
The sullying of a, you know, it really does. It sours you on the whole experience.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, you go back to Shrek
1. I don't want to watch Shrek 1 now.
Anymore, right, because you're pissed.
And I think I've only seen it once.
Yeah.
But and I remember loving it. Yeah. Loving it.
Yeah. But. Yep. So I see what you mean, though. Yeah.
Now, we have, I mentioned the Love Guru.
Right.
What's your impression of that?
I'm
again,
not going to see
Mike
that.
Myers and
DVD.
Yeah.
DVD. Yeah.
Because Mike Myers, besides the Shrek movies, Cat in the Hat, not great.
Oh, God.
And so what happened to him? We talked about Wayne's World. Wayne's World 1, good, you said?
Yeah.
Wayne's World 2, not so much.
Yeah. Oh, and, but, you know, it's about, he comes up with an original idea, and then he makes money on it, and then...
Yeah, Austin Powers.
Austin Powers. You know?
One, great. Two,
one,
okay. Three, what the heck was that?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why?
You need to stop.
Exactly. One, good. Two, great. Three, why?
It's like if you see him on the street, are you going to smack him down?
No.
I'm still a fan of the guy. I like the guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
But
yeah, Love Guru, no.
Just wish he could have more confidence in himself, stop taking a paycheck, and do something good.
Well, he's trying something different with his Love Guru. We'll see.
When Love Guru 3 comes out.
And did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Doing little midget jokes and
really?
Stuff up in there. Yeah. That's just wrong. It's just wrong.
Bummer.
I said it before, but I say it again, that I was watching Siskel and Ebert back in like 1983 or so, and they were reviewing Under the Rainbow, which is a movie about the making of the Wizard of Oz movie.
Yeah, there was a supposed murder investigation going on in the background while that was being going on or something.
I
remember that movie.
Took place at a hotel. But that's where all the midgets from the Wizard of Oz were staying at.
Right.
All the munchkins were there.
You mean little people, yeah.
Well, back in 1983, they were called midgets.
That's right.
And Roger Ebert said at that time that he didn't understand these people making this movie because they must think that anything a midget does is funny.
Right.
You know, if he trips and falls, he's a little guy, so that's funny. And it's the same thing with Mike Myers and Vern Troyer. Vern Troyer is not that funny.
No.
He wasn't funny in the Austin Powers movies.
No.
Even the Mini-Me, second one, whatever.
Yeah.
Not funny.
No.
He's annoying, if anything.
Then you watch that, what the hell's the name of that on VH1?
Oh, The Surreal Life?
Oh, my God. You see how pathetic that was?
Lord.
Dude took a piss over there
a
in the
drunk,
corner.
I know. Drunk, naked, rolling around in a little scooter, pissing all over everything like a freaking three-legged house cat.
Yeah, that's what they called him, dude. Oh, hey. I have a three-legged house cat.
That's right. That gets drunk and pisses all over the house.
Oh, that stupid cat. I love him too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody should have a pocket midget, huh? Oh, boy.
All right. Take it away from the bad stuff. Our least favorite stuff.
Yeah, we got to let the anger out of the room. I think we all got a little irate just then.
Lisa,
I know I did.
Lisa, your very favorite movie of the year, 2007?
No Country for Old Men.
Well, that was won the Oscar for Best Picture, even.
I do believe
deservedly
it.
So.
Yeah. I think
what do you mean?
Is
that yours,
work.
Too?
Number one, baby.
Yeah.
You prepared list. You made your list together. What the heck?
My list was in my head.
I called him up and said, what are you wearing today?
Oh, by the way, what's your number one?
Exactly. Yeah, no. He was on that side of the room and I was on the other side of the room.
We've talked about that movie forever. And it can't say enough good things about it. I agree.
Love it.
The Coen brothers, one of their best films.
The cast.
Their
the
best
cast.
Film. Great
Brolin.
Cast.
Josh Brolin.
Javier Bardem.
Tommy
Lee Jones.
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Josh Brolin's wife, the lady that played Josh Brolin's
yeah,
wife.
Yeah, she's cute.
Very cute.
Kelly MacDonald?
Kelly MacDonald, yes.
It's okay to say she's cute. She probably likes that.
Oh, she's totally cute.
Oh, yeah.
I saw her in...
Oh, and wasn't Kate Blanchett in it?
Yes, she was the pit bull. Yeah.
I don't get that.
But, yeah, stellar cast, amazing story.
I think it's the Coen's brother best work yet.
Period, yeah.
I do.
Love it more than Fargo.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
I really
yeah.
do. More
yeah.
than Fargo.
It's like this. You got No Country, then Fargo, yeah. then Miller's Crossing. Oh, but yeah. it's so hard because they have so many.
I know, and I do. I love their movies. But, yeah, this movie, whew, man, forget it.
Yeah, excellent.
As new as this movie is, it is already on the top 250 movies of all time from IMDb.
Yeah.
Number wow. 57.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice.
And it is listed ahead of Fargo, which is at 113.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just perfect.
I have really to disagree. Is. I really love Fargo. And No Country for Old Men was very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, but you love Shooter, too.
Yeah. I'm not going to deny it. I did. I just like to kick back, eat my popcorn, and just enjoy the movie. I was
watching
the
heads
that explode.
Ride. Yeah.
But, yeah, we've said it before. We've raved about this movie countless times. And, you know, I could make passionate arguments all day long for people to go see this movie.
God, who if you haven't seen this movie, you're a fool. I mean, I understand if you're not old enough to get in the movie.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
Oh, my God. That one scene where...
Where he's fucking with the clerk.
Oh, my God.
No,
isn't
Airbnb?
That intense?
Yeah, man. So great.
Just that's awesome.
Yep.
Just awesome. So many great scenes. That's just a... Excellent movie.
Great scenes. The dialogue.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, man.
Intense. Yeah. I mean, who wrote that?
Who wrote that?
They did.
They did, yeah. The Coen brothers. They adapted it from a novel.
They did.
Oh, my God.
And matter of fact, they won Best Adapted Screenplay.
They did.
Cormac McCarthy
novel.
Cormac McCarthy novel.
I must have been in the restroom during that part. Yeah. Excellent. So intense.
Yep. Total agreement. Okay, you...
My number one film
yeah.
is not There Will Be Blood. It's not No Country for Old Men.
Uh-huh.
But it comes as no surprise.
Yes.
The Bourne Ultimatum.
Yes, we knew that.
Yeah, baby.
As many independent little movies that I watch and have nothing to do with all this action stuff, I'm surprised at my list. But when I sit back and I watch these movies and Bourne Ultimatum tops them all, that it's just...
It's
I love it. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Hey, pure movie-going fun.
Yes, it is.
Why not?
It is. And
I
that's what
it.
You go to the movies for. Kevin Costner said it best years ago. We were watching that Tonight Show when he said he doesn't make movies for the critics. He makes movies for entertainment, for people
yeah.
to be entertained. And he had nothing to do with this movie, mind you. But I just love this movie. It was the perfect ending to the trilogy.
Yep.
And I
nice
they got
box
a number
set.
Four lined up for 2010, they're talking, you know. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. There's several more books and, you know, yeah. and then they could come up with the original stories.
Hey. Man. Oh, yeah. And, you know, just because it didn't make our list, I mean, it's out there.
Oh,
in,
yeah.
It's out there in the other six.
That's
me.
One of the reasons why it made it so hard.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Forget
yeah.
about it.
Last summer we did a podcast about the Bourne movies,
mm-hmm.
and you know we watched the first one, the second one, and
we went and saw the third one, and just
we loved it.
Yeah.
Love it. It's
highly anticipated
perfect.
When we were trying to get. It was like, oh my gosh!
Well, I had a deadline. I had to get my shit together and actually see the first two before the third came out because
yep.
I was a lazy shit,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But oh yeah,
Paul Greengrass directing Matt Damon is phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's just perfect combination.
Yeah.
Excellente. Yeah, good choice, babe.
I was saying that they had a perfect combination, and they have coming up. The Green Zone comes out next year.
Hmm.
What's that?
It's a thriller about a pair of CIA agents on the trail of a certain weapons of mass destruction.
That
oh, on the
trail. Like a news headline.
No, it is. But it's a CIA agents on the trails of the supposed weapons of mass destruction and a foreign correspondent who follows them around.
Oh.
It's inspired by Imperial Life in the Emerald City, which is a novel. The Emerald City is in Iraq. Matt Damon's in that. Greg Kinnear.
Wow.
Written by Brian Hagelin, who was pretty popular because of the L.A. Confidential movie.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
He also helped write Mystic River, A Knight's Tale, Payback. Conspiracy theory.
Cool.
Assassins.
That was a fun movie.
Yeah, Assassins. Remember that? Yeah, that
Stallone
cool.
and Banderas. Yeah, uh-huh. That's pretty good.
So that should be pretty good. But Matt Damon, of course, made the Bourne movie with his supporting cast.
Oh, yeah.
David Strait Hearn and Pamela Landy. Who played her?
Joan
Allen.
There you go. Thank
Joan
you.
Joan Allen. Yeah.
Julia Stiles.
Yeah. Just
phenomenal cast. Phenomenal cast for a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Action, intrigue, suspense.
Yeah. And what you know what I really loved about that one is that movie started right where number two left off.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
They overlapped.
Well, exactly. Yeah, they did. They overlapped some. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I hope I didn't give anything away.
That's
still
okay.
Go see it.
Yeah, still go see it. You know, but
you saw the second one, so you know what happened already.
Exactly. You're not like, oh, gee, what's changed in this? You know, no, you're just like, you're right back in it.
Come
so
on, it's Jason
we're all
Bourne.
In agreement, 2007, phenomenal year for movies.
Oh, yeah, a lot of great movies.
As evidenced by how hard it was to get our list together.
Yep. I'm going to tell you, let's see, some of the ones not on my list.
I was going to save that for the after show.
Oh, you were?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fair enough. Fine.
So that's going to wrap it up for this show. Check back with us next week. Meanwhile, check out our website, thecinemaniacs.com, and we have a new poll up there. I don't know what it's about.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I can't wait to find out.
Oh, no, we don't have a new poll yet. Still the same poll, which is...
Do we have more than two votes now?
Yes.
Good.
By accident.
Because are you voting for yourselves?
No, he put it up. I voted. I think that he voted. And for a while there, it was 50-50 between Speed Racer and Indiana Jones.
I better go vote.
The poll up there is what movie for May are you most looking... The summer season is upon us. What
Dude.
Movie for May are you most looking forward to seeing?
Indy.
Well, we have Indiana Jones, Speed Racer,
Prince Caspian.
The Narnia movie.
Yeah.
And Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Iron Man's good. I'm going to see most of those, actually.
Or what's the other answer? May. I'm still trying to watch the April movies.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
So go vote in the poll. If you like to email us, we'd love to hear your comments and concerns. podcast@thecinemaniacs.com. Go up to Podcast Alley and vote for us. The more votes we get, the more people get turned on to us, the more listeners we have, and we can make a better show for you.
That's right. The harder we work.
And with that, have a good night.
Peace.
Bye. Say what you're spacing out. So why don't you shut up, baby? You keep skipping. I'm freaking out. Yeah. Say what you're spacing out. So why don't you shut up, baby? You keep skipping.
It was a really great year for movies.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of the movies that you could have made your list? I'll tell you right now.
Breach.
Breach could was have on my list. I could have got it on there.
Breach,
so
Breach was so close. Once. Loved Once.
Really?
Loved Once. I still love Once. I love the music. Once, definitely.
In the Valley of Elah.
Great movie.
Tommy Lee Jones just blew
Absolutely.
Me away. I really, really wanted to put that movie on my list, but narrowed it down to four. Couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah. Very hard. Let's see.
Lars and the Real Girl.
I haven't seen that yet.
That movie was fantastic. We haven't talked about it yet on the podcast, so maybe
I got to see that.
But I loved that movie. Another Ryan Gosling movie.
Right on. American Gangster.
American Gangster was very good.
Amazing
good
movie. Phenomenal movie.
300.
300 was a blast, man.
Yeah.
What a, I mean.
Just kick back and
100%
enjoy
100% popcorn
it.
Fun goodness. Hell, Transformers. Transformers was a ball.
Transformers was good. It was good.
Absolutely. That I mean that you could even call that a guilty pleasure. I would equate that to Shooter. You know, it's you know, it's giant robots for God's sake.
Yeah. Grindhouse. Almost put Grindhouse on there.
Oh God. Well yeah. I mean we're Tarantino's little fuck puppets here, so I mean he puts
but Robert
out.
Rodriguez, I liked his segment better than Tarantino's even.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I did. Okay. It's just kickback. I don't know if you watched it on DVD. Did they cut out scenes of it and they have the missing reels and things on it?
No, I missed that experience, which I've always been ashamed of.
You know, the trailers and things.
Yep.
The remake of Halloween. I love that movie.
Oh, that was great.
You know, that really, I have an interest now to going back to see Halloween 2, 3, or whichever other one, because that movie was so good.
Okay. Yeah, and like I said, Bourne Ultimatum, that was outside my list. Thank God you got it. I got to mention, because that was such a fun movie. Beowulf.
Beowulf
was
good.
A blast.
Yeah.
Beowulf, I did well, and I'm glad it did well, and I want movies like that. I want more adult-themed, I don't mean adult watch, gawa-themed. I want more, you know, mature-themed CGI movies. I don't want any more movies about talking fish or bees or insects or any of that crap. I want stuff.
And 3D. It was fantastic.
Yeah. I didn't even see it in 3D. I just saw it in regular aspect, and it was
That's
wonderful.
How good the story was.
Yeah.
Gone Baby Gone.
Like, oh, man. Yeah, that was a good movie.
It was a very good movie.
That was a really good movie. Ben Affleck directs some more.
Mr. Brooks.
That's all right. I don't know. That wouldn't have made the top 10, but it was fun.
But I didn't like Ghost Rider. That was in competition for my least favorite movie of the year.
It was pretty awful. I didn't even mark that I'd seen it.
Just want to deny it.
I just want to deny that I even saw it. That's pretty good. Oh, Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz was really good. I was only disappointed in it because I loved Shaun of the Dead so much. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
of all
it's
time.
It's a
like top 10 favorite.
Yes, no, it's a big
Hot
come
Fuzz
down.
Didn't live up to that, but it was still very good.
Yeah.
If I'd never seen Shaun of the Dead, I'm sure I would have loved Hot Fuzz that much more.
Totally.
You have any comments, Lisa?
Yeah, in a moment.
Some movies that I'm looking forward to seeing. Wind That Shakes the Barley. It's a Cillian Murphy movie. The Namesake with Cal Penn.
Oh, yeah. I saw the trailer for that recently. That looks really good. That looks really good. I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. A couple weeks, The Orphanage comes out. Lisa's real anxious to see that.
That's supposed to be pretty damn creepy. Yeah, let's see. We got Juno, Lars and the Real Girl. I got to see The Mist. I still haven't seen. There's actually a couple of movies with, help me out, No Country for Old Men, supporting actor, Javier Bardem. There's actually a couple of Javier Bardem movies that I want to see, Goya's Ghosts and
Cholera.
Yeah, Love.
Love in the Time of Cholera.
Love in the Time of Cholera.
That's really good.
I want to see both those movies, mainly for Javier Bardem.
Let me tell you, I watched Rush Hour, wasn't really impressed with it, and I caught Rush Hour 2 on DVD at work one night. And I really loved it. That was really a lot of fun. But I still hesitated to see Rush Hour 3.
I haven't seen any of the Rush Hour movies.
Okay.
No interest.
Well, you know, you think about it, I'm right there with you. I don't know how I ended up seeing the first one, but the second one was really, really good. So then the third, when I think of Jackie Chan, I try not to, but the Shanghai Noon, Shanghai Nights movies just totally disinterest me from him.
Lord.
The Savages.
Want to see
DVD?
It?
We need to see
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yep, that's true.
True.
And?
Oh, Laura Linney.
Laura Linney.
Love Laura Linney.
Love, love, love. Southland Tales.
What's that?
It's a movie with Justin Timberlake. That's all you need to say. I don't know. Sleuth is a remake of the old Michael Caine movie starring Michael Caine and Jude Law.
Oh, and Jude Law. Right.
The TV set. Oh, Taxi to the Dark Side. It was best documentary.
Yep.
And I saw that No End in Sight, which just was totally amazing, blew me away documentary.
Right.
And that lost to this Taxi to the Dark Side.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine how that is.
That's got to, yeah.
Things We Lost in the Fire. I know it has Halle Berry in it, but I still want to see it someday.
Yeah, but it's got Benicio del Toro in it.
Yeah, hopefully that makes it better. Because that Perfect Stranger... I thought about putting that as one of the worst movies of the year.
I was contemplating that as well. That movie sucked.
Just like further embedded to me that Halle Berry can't make good movies.
Where are you guys
can't
at?
Star in good movies. We're just naming movies that we want to see or...
Didn't quite make the list.
Oh.
Just outside that top four.
Oh, okay. Oh, American Gangster.
Yeah.
Assassinating Jesse James, the Jesse James one. That was pretty good.
That was very good.
Yeah.
I hear Astronaut Farmer is very good. I haven't seen that yet.
That's one I'm kind of iffy about. Looks like it looks a little too touchy feely. But you know what? I can't. You know.
Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd was very good.
Yeah,
I loved it.
It was hard to not put that on the list.
I didn't have a problem with it just because I hate the music so much.
I love the music. I was humming that for days.
And
nothing worse than drawing that blank.
Breach.
Thank you.
Breach. Yeah, that was one of the first ones I mentioned was Breach.
Yeah, I agree
that's,
with you.
That's like number five or six. No, that's number six because number five was Die Hard.
It's extremely hard.
What about Bourne?
Oh, and Michael Clayton, too.
All right, so there's a bunch of movies at five and six out there in that ethos. Hey, man, you're the one that made me choose four, damn it.
Catch Release, only because it has Kevin Smith in it.
Kevin Smith and Timothy Oliphant is why I want to see that.
Now I want to see it more.
Yeah, hey, all right. Maybe we'll get around to seeing that.
Dan in Real Life.
Yep. Jim, I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
I have Dead Silence sitting over there on the shelf, and I'm interested in seeing that. Not very interested, but
I'm not terribly interested. I didn't mark it as even an interest. another possible nominee for worst movie, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, movie film for theaters.
Did you see that?
Yes. I wanted to love it because I'm a fan of the show, but apparently you can only take that in 15-minute doses, man.
Yeah.
Anything beyond
there's
that.
There's a reason why it's 15 minutes.
There's a reason. There really is a reason.
Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
Yeah,
interesting.
See that.
Interesting.
Especially after seeing Kite Runner. I know they have nothing to do with each other, but there are those little independents that could.
Yeah.
Evan Almighty. I keep hearing good things about it. And
really? All the reviews I read said it sucked.
I hear from people
that
they liked it.
Yeah. So. What kind of people?
Well, Jerry tonight.
Yeah.
You are a corrections officer.
4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days.
Yeah, what is that about?
Yeah, what is that? What is that besides 150 days?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think it has to do with abortion in the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a feel good movie.
That's right.
Put that on the list.
Fracture sitting over there, ready to watch.
Yeah, we got to see that. Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's cool.
Grace Is Gone. John Cusack.
Yeah, that's on my to see.
Yeah.
More so than Alien, Martian
Child,
whatever it is.
No, Grace Is Gone.
But Grace Is Gone, yeah.
They say one of the worst horror movies of all time was The Hills Have Eyes 2, the original one. Okay. But I hear the new one is actually pretty good.
I saw part of it.
And?
Yeah.
You know, you don't expect greatness, so you go in there and just enjoy it, I guess.
I just flipped it, and it was on, and yeah.
I think it helps if you're a fan of horror movies.
Oh, I am, but even then... It was just...
Well, I'm not judging you. I'm saying for anybody...
Don't judge me.
Yeah.
The Hoax with Richard Gere.
That looked good. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Yeah, Rental, yeah.
Now, see, I actually liked the first Hills Have Eyes, the first remake.
Right.
Yeah. That was freaking trippy.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was very good. I don't think as good as the original Hills Have Eyes.
Never saw it.
But
it was fun.
It was still very good.
Well, when you watch the original one, it's almost like watching like Last House on the Left or...
Yeah.
You know.
That's cool.
Things like that.
Into the Wild.
Want to see that. Also want to check out the soundtrack.
I hear great things about the movie Ginobine.
Yeah, we were screwing around with the pronunciation on that.
Yeah.
Oh, you two were?
Yeah.
It's Ginobine.
Ginobine?
Yeah.
Okay. What's that?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Are you a linguist now?
No. I just hear them talking about it on the other podcast, the DVD Digigods.
Cool.
Okay.
Wade Major, he said it was one of his favorites from last year.
Really?
Right.
Wade. Yeah, you're in that messed up chair.
The thing is, I have this desk like right here, so like I have to like to get up close. Like, oh yeah.